had a lot going on this morning, a lot of announcements and everything. So I hope you can remember all that we talked about. One announcement we forgot to make is there will not be dinner on the ground next Sunday because of the Valentine banquet that we had and all. So there will not be dinner on the ground next Sunday on that. Okay? All right. So if you'll go ahead and open your hymnals to 294, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and mark that and have that ready for the end of the service. And now open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 20 through 27. Stand in honor of our Lord as we read from His holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously written, inspired word. Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 20. And this morning I am reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. There's a version of that in the pew there if you want to follow along on that version. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to the one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly. Don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Verse 23 is our key verse this morning. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Father, as we have read your word, we ask that you bless the reading. Remove the scales from our eyes, Lord, that we may be granted understanding and receive your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, this morning we're going to be starting a series, a five-part series, that is dealing with the heart. I have touched on this somewhat in the past, but I'm going to go a little bit further, a little bit more detail in this, in dealing with the heart. It will deal with the concept of allowing God to make your heart fully alive through a vibrant and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, which, by the way, will be accomplished through the power of His Holy Spirit. First point this morning, guarding the treasure. The treasure is your heart. Solomon, in the previous 19 verses of chapter 4 of Proverbs, he warned us not to do evil. In verses 20 to 27, he teaches us how to do well. So it's not just don't, but now that we're getting to the do, that just made me think of the cartoon that Levi watched, the do-do-doers, do-doers. I don't know if y'all seen that, but the fellow that created the VeggieTales, he created this, the doozers. And they do it. You know, it's cute. Anyway, I'm sorry. I chased a rabbit there. But okay. So, Solomon teaches us that it is not enough for us to shun the occurrences of sin, but that we must study the methods of overcoming sin. In other words, we must continually study the Word of God so that we may always be ready to allow it to be our source and our guide. Folks, the sayings of wisdom found in the Word of God must be our principles by which we govern ourselves. They must be our monitors to remind us of accountability and to warn us of danger. That's why the attentive hearing and reading of the Word of God is so important to the Christian. And when God's Word is the major role in one's life, rest assured then that God's grace is at work in their heart, and they will have the means by which to carry on. Now, the Christian life is sometimes perceived or seen as being engulfed by a heavy, heavy fog. Now, I say that because, you see, Christians often, unfortunately, allow the circumstances that surround them to engulf them like a fog. And as a result, others seldom see them walking as a victorious Christian. Much of the confusion that we experience is due to the fact that we fail to understand the truth proclaimed in our key verse, Proverbs 4:23, as well as other scriptures that describe the significance of the heart. Now, there are two phrases that King Solomon made in this passage that stand out above the rest of the passage. First is above all else, and second is wellsprings of life. You see, if we're going to experience the fullness of our faith and partake of the blessings of God, we must recognize the treasure of the heart. Both of these phrases give us perspective into God's blessing and the importance of guarding your heart. The phrase, above all else, communicates priority. And while the phrase, wellspring of life, communicates a glorious promise. Now, believe it or not, there are some who feel that if you teach the doctrine of self-denial as one of the key aspects of following Christ, you are in direct contradiction with the teaching of guarding your heart. Some feel too many times we expect to take up our cross and not take care of the heart. Could it be that we can only die to self when we guard our heart? We're going to dig a little deeper into that thought this morning. Jesus declared that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. That's found in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Now, when describing the kingdom of God, Jesus revealed that the things that come out of the heart defile a man. In Matthew 15, verses 16 to 20. He also taught in Luke 12, 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, for the saints that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We find similar instructions in the Old Testament where we are commanded to trust the Lord with all of our heart. It's a verse that most of us probably know, Proverbs 3:5. And to hide God's Word in our heart, a verse that we use every year in vacation Bible school, Psalm 119, verse 11. Now, the prophet Samuel revealed that God does not evaluate people by outward appearance, but He looks at the heart in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Now, perhaps perhaps the most significant verse describing the treasure of the heart is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, which says that a person may be saved by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now the heart is a mysterious spiritual reality that allows us to experience the fullness of life. Yes, it indicates emotion. However, the heart is not limited to emotion. According to Scripture, the heart can be grieved, the heart can be troubled, the heart can be broken, pierced, divided, and the heart can be joyful. Dr. Charles Ryrie defined the heart as the very core of life. He put out a study Bible, the Ryrie Study Bible. Therefore, our heart is the truest expression of who we really are. Now, having identified the biblical mandate for us to recognize and guard the treasure of our heart, our second point is that we must prioritize the task of guarding our heart. Often, we make the false assumption that taking care of the heart is a selfish pursuit. Most often we could testify of an experience where someone used the lame excuse of selfishness to justify an ungodly decision. We must understand, folks, that guarding your heart is not selfishness or irresponsibility. Unfortunately, the unbalanced emphasis on certain aspects of faith has contributed to the neglect of guarding your heart. We must be careful not to forfeit the treasures of the heart because of selfish abuses. A Reader's Digest article offered an amusing analysis of some of the dieting trends and selfish abuses that are affecting our culture. For example, the Japanese eat little fat and suffer fewer heart problems than the Americans or the British. The French eat a lot of fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than the U.S. or British. The Italians drink a lot of red wine and have a lower risk of heart problems than their Western neighbors. What can we conclude from these facts? You can eat whatever you want, but speaking English will kill you. No, I'm teasing. That's not... Just kidding. The point that I want us to get this morning is guarding your heart is more about feeding your soul than it is about avoiding sin. Now, we are to avoid sin, okay? But guarding your heart is more about feeding your soul than it is about avoiding sin. You see, when our heart is strong, we are able to resist the temptations that cause many of us to stumble and sin. The book of Proverbs identifies some things to avoid, but it also contains numerous instructions to pursue, such as wisdom, grace, discipline, life. Okay? So yes, guarding your heart includes seeking God. However, we cannot ignore our third point. And that's the instructions to minimize the trash from our lives. Okay. Now I've started meddling, haven't I? Okay. The verses that follow the command to guard your heart describe putting away perverse speech, looking straight ahead, and choosing good paths. These verses are similar to the New Testament challenge contained in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we also have such a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside any weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. It goes on, says a little bit more, but that's the point I'm trying to bring across there. Both of these passages reveal the need for us to remove some things from our lives so that we can run the race of faith. The sinister trap of legalism ensnares those who make removal the goal of faith instead of removing sin for the purpose of going forward in faith. Does that make sense? Some trash is easy to identify. Moral corruption, perverse behavior, evil acts that harm others, and we can stand bold in opposition to these because that's not the will of God. Other trash is a little bit more difficult to discern and to remove. For example, lack of faith. Okay. Unwillingness to forgive. Materialism. Now here's a big one. Pride. Also, one that is getting a lot of people in this world today, false belief systems. All of these can stop the flow of the wellsprings of life, just like the easily identified sins. Trash, whether it's big or small, is still trash. Amen. We should embrace the challenge that the Apostle Paul gave Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, to purify himself, that he would be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. A fourth strategy for guarding your heart is to energize, not with the energizing bunny, but to energize with truth. Note the instruction Solomon gave in Proverbs 4:20. He said, "Pay attention and listen closely." This emphasis to give careful attention to divine truth is followed by the promise of life and health. We need truth. Jesus said the truth would set us free. Solomon exhorts his son to discern and hold the instruction close to his heart. We live in a world that is often opposed to truth. Our culture promotes tolerance. It promotes political correctness over truth. However, God's holy word reminds us that there is a difference between right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness and evil. Level paths, folks, have a solid foundation that lead to success. But evil and unstable choices will lead to destruction. We must also appreciate the difference between facts and truth. It's not enough just to know facts or to know about the faith. Facts provide information, but truth produces transformation. Through the application of keeping the truth in your heart, we advance in the journey of faith instead of swerving off course. Most individuals who would identify themselves as Christians know the facts of faith. They know about death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They know about prayer. They know about witnessing. But precious few, unfortunately, actually pray to know the Lord and the power of His resurrection in an effort to have the ability to share Christ more effectively. Too many believers treat knowing Christ as a simple fact instead of a transforming truth. Folks, understanding that when we truly know Christ, when we have fully received Christ into our lives, we have the transforming truth of the Almighty God. Guarding your heart involves energizing your life with the transforming truth of God's love and His Word. Never treat the Scripture as a collection of facts. I don't know if y'all remember, but last week, and I should have put that slide up again this week, but I had a picture of the Bible that says the Bible is not a trail mix. You just pick and choose what you want out of it. No, the Bible is in its entirety is complete. Amen. The Bible is God's holy word that is alive, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. The prophet Jeremiah described God's word as a fire that burns in a man's soul and a hammer that shatters a rock to pieces. Amen. Guarding your heart is critical, folks. It's critical to experiencing all that God desires for your life. You see, when we guard the treasure, our heart, prioritize the task, minimize the trash, and energize the truth. And when we do all of that, we place ourselves in a position to receive the blessings of God. When we guard the treasure, prioritize the task, minimize the trash, energize with truth, we maintain a proper alignment with the true source of life. Nuclear submarines are amazing. Nuclear submarines consist of some of the most amazing technology on the planet. These incredible military vessels can stay underwater for 90 days. But every 90 days, the submarine must resurface to maintain proper alignment with the North Star. I thought when I was reading that article that it was going to say, so it could get more air and fresh air. You know, but when it said, wait, what? A proper alignment with the North Star? I thought, whoa, whatever for? You see, while the submarine is underwater, its navigational system is affected by the Earth's magnetic forces. And because these submarines carry missiles of mass destruction, they must pay close attention to keeping the navigational equipment aligned with the true reference point of the North Star. I thought, wow. And God created that as the true reference point. The nuclear submarine provides an excellent picture of our heart.
Just as the submarine may have enough physical provisions of food, water, fuel to survival, it cannot perform its highest level of complete its mission without maintaining proper alignment with the true reference point. Amen. Folks, as Christians, we have got to maintain true alignment. Amen. With a true reference point. Amen. Folks, your heart is the navigational equipment of your life. It must stay aligned with God by guarding your heart, by saturating your mind with the Word of God through daily Bible reading, through attending Sunday school, folks, Bible study on Sunday morning, through attending Sunday evening when we study the Bible even more. Now we're in Romans chapter 14, fixing to go into 15. And by coming to Wednesday, can you believe it? Actually, Wednesday evening prayer service, we even have the Word of God on Wednesday. And we pray. We actually pray. So folks, not only that, but there's the worship service on Sunday morning as well. When all of this is combined together, you will be able to plug into God's source of strength and power, and stay locked on to God's will and the well springs of life. I'm not minimizing any of this. It's so important. You've heard me say before, and I'm not taking away from the worship service. The worship service is important, but folks, the Sunday school hour is more important. Amen. If you've got to miss a time, I don't want you to, but miss the worship service. Be here for Bible study. That's where you get the source, your food, the real food that you need to continue to go on. Then by the grace of God, the power of His Holy Spirit, we just elaborate a little bit more in here. This morning I have an important question for you. Will you surrender your all to Jesus Christ today? Will you allow God to make your heart fully alive? Will you allow God to make your heart alive through a vibrant and growing relationship with Jesus Christ? How do you grow in that relationship? Bible study, folks. Bible study. Fellowshipping with other Christians. Will you allow His principles to govern and monitor your life? But you know, before any of that can really happen, Jesus must be Lord of your life. And for Jesus to be our Savior and Lord, we must do what Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us to do. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Remember, only when we are attentively hearing and reading the Word of God will we have the means to carry on. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And when we do, will you at this moment consider surrendering your life to the Creator of life and allow Him to have His way in your life and to live His will in and through you? I encourage you to do so, but the decision is yours. I can beg and scream and holler and all till the world freezes over. But it's not going to help. It's your choice, your decision. Our altar is always open at this time of the service. If you feel like you need to come and pray, you can kneel. You can sit on the front pew. If kneeling is not possible physically, that's okay. That's all right. If you just need to come to the front and just stand, that's okay. But if there's something that God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to you right now, don't leave this place this morning without making sure that you're in the right relationship with Him, that you've answered that still small voice that's talking to you this morning. Now, why do I ask you to come and make that decision? Well, I come ask you to come and tell me about it because you see, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus Himself said these words, "Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven." Folks, if we're not willing to stand up and say, "He's my Lord and my Savior," then He will not claim us. If I did not stand at that altar, you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. If I had not stood almost 30 years ago at that altar with my sweet, sweet wife here and taken that vow with her, we wouldn't be together today. You see, I made that public proclamation and I said yes to her as being my bride, being part of my life. That's the kind of relationship God wants from you. To claim Him, profess Him as Lord and Savior. And this is the time of the service when you can do that. The choice is yours. So as we stand, will you make that choice this morning by letting God have His way in your heart and in your life?